committee, we will now take up House Bill 1294, which revises and supplements certain powers of the South Dakota Building Authority. Representative Knoll cannot be present with us this evening, and in his absence, I'm going to open up committee discussion on this bill. Yep, I see him. I've been waiting for him. And if you'll just bear with me while I find my copy of the bill. Got it. This bill is entitled An Act to Revise and Supplement Certain Powers of the South Dakota Building Authority. The purpose for bringing it forward to you this evening is to continue our discussion of the issue of securitization of the proceeds from the tobacco settlement funds. And with that very brief introduction, there will be an amendment to the bill. I would ask Mr. Everson come forward to discuss the bill and the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Kurt Everson, Bureau of Finance and Management. House Bill 1294 was originally introduced, was basically brought in as a placeholder while we took some time to try and take a look at how the markets have been reacting to securitization. This legislature last year passed Senate Bill 226 that basically allowed for the governor to take a look at securitizing tobacco proceeds. A lot of things have happened since last year, and that's the reason for the amendment. And very simply, the amendment's kind of long, but the sum and substance of it is very very short and easy to understand. If you look at the fourth paragraph of the amendment, it would propose to just overstrike some language that was certainly added in good faith by then Senator Olson last year on the securitization to restrict the issuance of bonds to only tax-exempt bonds, and frankly, for what we collectively knew about the market for tobacco-backed bonds, that seemed perfectly logical to do, because at that point in time, no one had done a taxable securitization. Frankly, the view of the bond gurus was that there wasn't a market for them. Several things have changed since then, and that's why the bill in its amended and the proposed amendment, pending amendment, are here before you. If I could just walk through several things that have changed since last year for the committee's benefit. One, as I said, a market for taxable tobacco payment-backed bonds appears to exist. There have been three issues to date done between last March. State of South Carolina securitized $200 million worth of their tobacco proceeds out through the year 2016. That transaction was closed on March 8th. Iowa, more recently, on the 11th of October, issued $40 million worth of taxable bonds. Those go out to the year 2010. And most recently, Louisiana issued about $283 million worth of bonds at the end of October, October 31st to be specific, and those bonds go out to 2025. The pricing on the bonds, of course, varies. Taxable deals traded at interest rates ranging between 250 and 300 basis points above treasuries of comparable maturity. Another thing that's happened besides the changes in the market's view of these is that, you know, we've had a national economic recession that has certainly darkened the general budget picture in all states, not just South Dakota. But at the same time, even though our revenues are being squeezed, it hasn't necessarily decreased the demand for funding for programs, education programs among them. If you'll recall the discussion last session, we were going to, if we issued tax-exempt securities, we would be very much restricted in two ways. One, in terms of the way we could spend the proceeds, they would have to be for new kinds of government programs. We couldn't supplant dollars and support existing programs with those securitization dollars, and as well the investment of the proceeds would be restricted as well by federal arbitrage regulations. And so those restrictions largely go away if we do a taxable securitization. Now, if we were to do a taxable securitization, the proceeds from that would still land in the Education Enhancement Trust Fund that was created last year. And so the proceeds, the interest earnings on a securitization or use of the proceeds from a securitization would be restricted for education enhancement programs, whatever the legislature would deem those to be. So we can't use them for just anything, but we can use them in education. The other thing that's going on, and the reason for the handouts that you have, is to just illustrate that the tobacco settlement payments to South Dakota and to all the other participating states continue to decline from levels that were calculated per the Master Settlement Agreement. The more alarming thing is that they are declining at an increasing rate. Most recently, if you look at the chart, the single red line on it, you can see that our most recent payment was discounted over 25% from the level that was per the Master Settlement Agreement. Now, those things are happening, those discounts are happening primarily because of volume declines, and those are taking two forms. First of all, nationally, smoking is on the decline, and so domestic consumption of cigarettes is declining. That's good news from a public health standpoint, not so good news from our tobacco revenue standpoint. But the other thing that's happening too that's causing our payments to decline is that the non-participating manufacturers, those manufacturers that were small in scale, didn't get into the Master Settlement Agreement, have found opportunities from a pricing standpoint to make some fairly significant inroads into the markets of the participating manufacturers. There were protections written into the Master Settlement Agreement for those participating manufacturers. I think that there's going to be, and I think the Attorney General would probably tell you, there's going to end up being litigation over the amount of those volume declines. The good news is, in South Dakota at least, we believe, with the cooperation of this legislature, everything we can do to basically protect against, you know, unfair competition from non-participating manufacturers. I think there's a bill this session working its way through the process here that puts more teeth, gives the Attorney General more latitude in terms of how they pursue non-participating manufacturers. So we're doing everything we can do. I hope that maybe some of this decline in these payments that we've seen recently, we may get some of that back, but it's going to take some time. We may win, we may not, and we'll just see. So basically, in conclusion, I'm bringing the governor would like to bring this bill forward for your consideration to talk about whether or not it's good public policy to pursue a taxable securitization if we can do one, and that's the sum and substance of the bills. One thing, I'm reluctant to talk about specific numbers as to what a securitization might yield. I've received some numbers from some financial houses in the last week. The latest ones, the taxable runs, I got today, this morning, and in just taking a cursory look at them, I have some concerns about the assumptions that were used in terms of the numbers I received. The basis wasn't quite as wide as 250 to 300 basis points, a little narrower than that, and I'm concerned about the validity of the numbers. So while I can tell you a tax-exempt securitization today would probably be a better deal than what we were looking at a year ago, probably in the $8 to $9 million range better deal, and that's just strictly because of the movements in the financial market since last year. A taxable deal wouldn't yield as big a pool of revenue up front, but we would be able to earn more on the investments because we wouldn't be yield restricted on those. And so I look forward to engaging in discussion. I realize the hour is late. You've got one more committee hearing before you have to move bills down to the floor. I appreciate the committee's being willing to discuss the proposed amendment. We bring it forth, and certainly in good faith. and I look forward to further discussions. I'd be happy to answer questions whenever you're ready for it.
Thank you, Mr. Everson. We'll hold questions momentarily. Are there any other proponents of House Bill 1294? Are there any other proponents? Are there any opponents to House Bill 1294, the proposed amendment? Any opponents? Seeing none, we'll close the committee hearing to testimony and open it to questions and answers. Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Everson, my concern is, I guess I don't understand your testimony. On the one hand, you tell us that the payments are going down and, you know, they're very unstable and we got to get out while we can. And then on the other hand, bonding's a great thing. Who are these idiots who are buying bonds of companies that are going broke and can't meet their financial obligations? And, I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Representative Olson, I guess I don't know who all the buyers of the securities are. Obviously, the way, not to digress into the whole discussion about securitization over and over again, but last year we discussed the same kind of a question, and the motivations of the buyers of these bonds they're simply weighing risk versus return, and the pricing of the bonds is reflective of the relative risk of these compared to other kinds of bonds, maybe Enron debt, not to make light of that, but the structure here, the debt service coverage ranges in the near term, which is the least risky, obviously, on the part of the buyer. The debt service coverage ratio is about 1.25 to 1 in the deals that I've seen numbers for, and then it ranges out as high as 2 to 1. On the outlying years, and so essentially the buyers of these bonds aren't betting that we're going to continue to get 100% of the payments we're getting today. And so between those kinds of things, between accelerated retirement of those long-term bonds structured into most of the financings that are being done, combined with debt service reserve funds, all those things are making, you know, they're all alleviating a certain degree of that kind of risk for the buyers. And so again, it's just, you know, I can't explain why they would do it other than that they believe that the return justifies the risk.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Olson.
I have two quick questions. One is, I didn't get South Carolina. They bonded for $200 million out to when?
Out to 2016.
2016, thank you. And if I could, Mr. Chairman, just one last one. These states that you mentioned, $200 million for South Carolina, $40 million for Iowa, $283 million for Louisiana. I'm assuming those figures are what they netted. What did they give up? In other words, I'm making this up. South Carolina gave up $500 million of imaginary cash for $200 million ready cash. What's the breakdown? How many cents did they get on a dollar?
Representative Olson, I got a summary sheet of of those transactions from one of the financial firms from Solomon Smith Barney today, and there was none of that detail that was attached to it, but I could certainly get it for you.
Representative Brown.
Thank you. Could I just have the question on, if I'm reading this correctly, the change, this is pretty minor in the sense of the lines, but does this take away our opportunity to provide these bonds in a tax-exempt status, or does it allow us, by the change, to do both, taxable and tax-exempt?
Thank you for the question, and Representative Brown. It would allow us to do either or a combination of the two, depending on how, you know, what would be viewed most favorably by the market and what would get basically the taxpayers the best deal, the best yield.
Further questions from the committee?
Just very quickly on that very point, with the securitization, would that allow us to do part taxable, part non-tax exempt?
Yes.
I mean, we could kind of do our brackets and hope for the best.
Further questions from the committee? Representative Lenski.
Mr. Chairman, in the money that would be collected from selling either the tax exempt or the taxable bonds would be put where and with what controls on it?
Okay. Representative Glensky, the proceeds by constitution would go into the Education Enhancement Trust Fund that was created by the voters last spring. because the language there said any current and future payments, and I believe it even included language on securitized payments, but that is where the proceeds would go. And so then the restrictions that are in the Constitution and in statute would govern the distribution of the proceeds. And in fact, the distribution of those proceeds would be, at least to some degree, limited by, and there's a bill that's made it halfway through this process, Senate Bill 40, that restricts the distribution of proceeds from the Education Enhancement Trust to 4% of the value of the trust, essentially. And that those provisions were put on Senate Bill 40 in the Senate, and they were done. It was done so that the fund would be, it could grow over time, as opposed to basically spending all of the earnings on an annual basis.
Further questions from the committee? Seeing none, thank you, Mr. Everson, both for your testimony and your patience this evening. We'll now turn to committee discussion and or action. We need to, if we may, move the amendment first. Representative Jaspers moves. Representative Napoli seconds. Amendment 1294-OA. Discussion on the amendment. Hearing none, those in favor shall say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. House Bill 1294 is amended. Further discussion and or action. Representative Jaspers.
I move to pass the amendment.
Is there a second? Representative Jaspers moves. Representative Smith seconds. A do pass is amended motion on House Bill 1294. Discussion on the motion. Hearing none, the motion before the Representative Vicarious.
I would just note that the emergency clause here, is that just so that we can bond whenever we feel like it?
That's correct. In a
shorter period of time?
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Further discussion? Hearing none. The motion before the committee is a do pass as amended motion on House Bill 1294. Those who are in favor of the motion shall say aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary shall call the roll.
Brown.
Aye.
Dunnevin.
Aye.
Vicarious. Glensky.
No.
Hanson.
No.
Jaspers.
Aye.
Junkie.
Aye.
Michaels.
Aye.
Olson.
No.
Schmidt.
Aye.
Napoli.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye. Motion carries. House Bill 1294 will be reported to the floor as due pass as amended. We do need a title amended. Is there a second? Discussion on the motion? Hearing none, those in favor shall say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries. The title is amended.